This week's parasha is Parashas Tetzaveh. And Tetzaveh primarily focuses on the big day kehuna. On the big day kehuna, on the different garments that were worn by the Kohanim, the Kohen Gadol, etc. The end of the parasha talks about the days of the Miluim, of inaugurating the Mishkan, etc. I'd like to share with you a beautiful insight. Beautiful insight I heard this morning.
Oh.
And I think it's worthwhile to repeat and to really contemplate and think about. And that's as follows. One of the Midi Kahuna was called the Mi'il. The Mi'il was a very long coat, which was worn, which basically went from the, it was like an overcoat, it went from the neck all the way down to the floor. It was made out of treles, it was blue-green garment. And the Torah says the following thing. It says that on the bottom of the mi'il, there were pamonezav and rimonim. There were pomegranates and there were golden bells on the bottom of the mi'il. How many were there? The Gemara says there were actually 72 of them. All together. 72, 36 on each side. Very nice. Okay. Torah says like this. Listen carefully. Torah says that you're supposed to put the pamonim, the bells, betoch the rimonim. What does the word betoch mean to you?
Inside.
Sounds like inside. Now, if I were to say, take the bell and put the bell inside the pomegranate, how would you understand that to mean? So the simple pshat is like the Ramban says, it's as follows. There was a hollow pomegranate. Inside the hollow, empty pomegranate was the bell. And you take the bell and put the bell inside the pomegranate. That's what it means, to put the pomegranate, the socharimo. You got that? Sounds good? That's how Ramban learns. Rashi says no. Rashi says unbelievable. You know what it means, besocham? It means in between. It means you had a pomegranate, you have a bell. Pomegranate, bell. In between the two pomegranates, you have a bell. Doesn't mean literally you put the bell inside the pomegranates, literally in it. Rather means in between. Obvious question on Rashi and the Rambam, who both hold the sleigh, is like this. One second. The same way the bells are in between the pomegranates, the pomegranates are also between the bells. If it's alternating, pomegranate bell, pomegranate bell, pomegranate bell, so what does it mean the Torah says put the bells in between the pomegranates? The same way the pomegranates are in between the bells, the same way the bells are in between the pomegranates are in between the bells. You have pomegranate, then bell. So why are you calling it the bells between the pomegranates and not the pomegranates between the bells? You understand the question? According to Rabbi, the same thing means besocha, means literally inside. But according to Rashi and the Rambam, who say that it means alternating in between those pomegranate, next to the pomegranate to bell, then pomegranate to bell. So then the same way the bells are to the pomegranates, the pomegranates are to the bells. You hear the question? Comes along the Al-Sheikh. The Al-Sheikh was one of the great Gedolim. Lived a few hundred years ago. The Al-Sheikh says an amazing pshat. Listen very carefully. The Gemara says in Maseches Zevachim that the Me'il was Mechaper for Lashon Hara. Each one of the garments that the Kohen Gadol or Kohen wear was Mechaper, atoned for something else. Lashon Hara was the Me'il. A lot of hints to the Me'il and Lashon Hara. For example, it says that the opening, there's a special opening which reminds a person of a mouth. It's supposed to be closed up, like a person must close his mouth sometimes to give voice to Lashon Hara. Listen very carefully. Says the Al-Sheikh so gorgeously in a sefer right in front of called Toras Moshe. Ready for a pshat? He says like this. He says, the pomegranate is hollow, and the bell has a bell inside of it and it makes noise. They both represent two different parts of speech. The bell makes noise. The bell reminds us like a tongue. What's a bell? Look at a bell. Imagine in your mouth is a tongue that moves back and forth. Look at my tongue. Like a bell. Inside the belly is like a, there's a bell. It makes noise like a tongue inside of a person's mouth. That's the part of us that speaks, that makes noise. The pomegranate is hollow. things that are hollow don't make noise. Says the Al Sheikh, that symbolizes silence. What's the Torah telling me when it tells me to put the bell between the two pomegranates? It's telling me that I should have double amount of silence than speech. There's a value of being quiet. There's a value of not saying something. There's a value of weighing your words, of measuring your words in a very, very real way. And that's what the Torah wants us to have the image. It's true, you're right. The same way the bells are between the pomegranates. The pomegranates are also between the bells. But the Torah wants us to understand that we should sandwich our words, our bells. The noise that we make should be sandwiched between the pomegranates that are what? That are hollowed out, that are silent. Our silence should take priority over our speech. That's the message over here. We should understand the value of silence. Where do you see the Torah, the value of silence? Where do you find the Torah really compliments or praises someone for his silence? Your time is up. Okay, I can't give you any more time. So it's found at the beginning of Parashat Shmini, where unfortunately, on the great day, the opening day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan is finally opened up, another Navi commits some sin, and they're killed on that day. Imagine the day, the opening day, the grand opening. And unfortunately, Hashem has to take away the lives of two of Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol's sons. And what's Aaron's response? Two words, Vayidom Aaron, which means Aaron was silent. Silence could mean because the person has nothing to say. Sometimes people are quiet because they can't say anything. Sometimes silence, I will say, speaks louder than words. I don't mean to quote some old songs that I once knew existed. There's a song, I think maybe some people call, maybe it could be someone in the Beatles might have sang a song called The Sound of Silence, if I'm not mistaken. Is that their song? I think it's them. The sound of, what a beautiful expression. I don't mean to pull from them, but the sound of silence. I mean, sometimes silence creates a sound. Silence isn't just the lack of saying something. Silence is sometimes an active something. Ayidom Aaron, Aaron was quiet in Torah. The Torah says, wow, that was amazing. By not saying something, you said so much. Sometimes we have a lot to say and just shoot our mouths off. And the Torah is telling us over here, no, put your mouth, put your bell, put your loudness in between the two pomegranates. Weigh your words before you say your words. There's a beautiful Gemara. Should I give you a shout out? Yeah? Okay. Some people in this yeshiva are learning Maseches Megillah now, because after all, Purim is around the corner. 5 weeks from today is Purim. It's crazy. It's just 5 weeks, not a lot of days. So Purim, Avolein Latova. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah, in the second parak of Megillah, Daf Yud Chesed Aleph, has the following beautiful drasha. The Gemara says as follows: My dechsev was pshat in the pasuk in Tehillim, Lecha, to you Hashem, Dumiya. Dumiya means silence. Tehillah, to you Hashem, silence is praise. Says the Gemara, Sama dekula mashtuka. The way to heal everything is by being silent. The sam, the medicine for everything, is being quiet. Silence is a medicine. The best way to heal things sometimes is just not to say a word. Kiyasa Rav Dima, the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael they used to say, Mila Besela, Mashtuka Betrim. Remember that Gemara? Mila Besela means, if you want to spend a sela, let's call it a shekel, to buy the ability to speak, then spend 2 shekel to buy the power of silence. You know why?
Sarah.
What?
Sarah's an argument.
Exactly, very good. Here we have over here. Sela, Mila, the Sela, Mashtuka, Betray. More precious than words is the ability to be quiet, is the ability to be silent, is to not say something. And sometimes when we just are not saying something, can have such a weight, and such an impression, much more than saying something sometimes. I'll give you a few examples from life. And you guys, I'm sure, to think of your own examples from life also. I was talking recently at my dinner table with my children a little bit. In my family, we have kind of 2 families. In my own immediate family. With older children, and a Baruch Hashem, like either, you know, teenager or even above teenager. And then like, that goes from like the 19 down to the, you know, the 15-year-olds. Then we have little kids, like an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old and a baby. One in the middle, we call Tzachi, is the bridge. Tzachi, he has 1 ear, you know, with the older family. And he has another year with the little kids. He's like the bridge. He's 12, between, he's not yet a teenager, 12 years old. He's also not a 4-year-old. He's okay, somewhere in the middle. We often joke, we have two families in our family. We have the older kids, who need a whole different, approach of life. And the young kids, who need to sit on the floor and play ball with them, and play Lego with them, and play clicks with them, and all that kind of fun things in life. Oh, why am I telling this to you? I was talking recently to my son, and with my son, about the challenges of teenage years. My older son, Ellie, was a teenager. He's a wonderful kid. He's a teenager. Teenagers like to push limits. I'm not saying that my son pushes the limits in the same way that you pushed your parents' limits when you were in high school. But he has his own shtick, his own shenanigans. He has his own stuff that he does. Which, he knows that I don't necessarily love. I wish that all upon everybody in here. They're not it's not bad things. But there's things that they're not desirable to me. Let's put it that way. Now, I have a choice as a parent. If I want, I can just comment and say, I don't like the way you did this, Ellie. I don't like the way you said that. But usually when I get into a confrontation with him, or with any of my children, usually it doesn't end well. Not that we're not mad at each other. We have, thank God, there's respect, mutual respect. But usually, the comments that are made, they don't end up in a positive light. I was talking to him recently how sometimes when certain things happen, I bite my lip. So he said to me, Abba, I notice when you bite your lip. I notice you want to say something, but you don't say something. I said to myself, you know what, you're right. I wish I was on a madriga, right? It didn't even bother me one bit. And I wouldn't even bite my lip when you did certain things. I'm a person. And I see certain things that you do, and I don't love them 100%, so I'll bite my lip instead of saying something. Sometimes I'll say something also, maybe I should do something. And usually it ends off in ways that are not ideal, not kishmak. And if only I would just be quiet. Just let it slide. Parents sometimes, I'm talking as a parent now for a second, parents a lot of times feel the need to comment on everything their kids do. You look like a schlum today. Tuck in. How come you're eating with your hands? Where's your manners? Usually that doesn't help kids develop into great kids. Usually it just makes kids want to rebel more, oftentimes. All they hear is loud noise. I'll tell you one maisa. It actually repeated itself recently. I was once having a discussion with one of my children, and I got a little heated in it. And I spoke loudly to the kid. And my son said to me at the time, he said, Abba, but you're yelling at me. And I was like, I'm done. Checkmate. You're right. He didn't hear what I was saying. All he heard was the loud tone, the bells. All he heard was the palmonim. And if the palmonim aren't couched between the rimonim, according to Alshach, if the palmonim aren't besocha rimonim, then sometimes you lose more by saying than you would have gained by not saying something. And the Torah is telling us, you should look at your mouth between two rimonim. You should look at the pa'amon between two rimonim. You should look at your koach of shtika, the ability to be quiet, as a gift. I'll give you one last practical example. You're sitting in your dorm room after a long day, long week of yeshiva. Someone comes into the dorm room and you have a great diss, a great comment to make. And everyone's looking to you to make that comment because you're the guy that makes that comment. And you're like, everyone's like, okay, all eyes on, whatever, we'll call him Dave. There's no Dave in this room. All eyes on Dave to make that comment. And Dave's like, I got the comment. It's like a great shtach, a great dig, a great opportunity to nail him. And Dave is like, okay, the ball is lob over the plate. And it's coming slowly over the plate. All Dave has to do is just tap it. And he can knock it out of the park. And Dave, instead of saying anything, just says, so nice to see you, Chaim. You had a great week in yeshiva this week. Instead of ripping Chaim out of the state, you know what he did? You know what Dave just did in that context? You can plug it into your own way. Dave just understood this Gemara Megillah. That as powerful and as important as speeches, sometimes not saying something is that much more powerful, that more meaningful. And this does not mean we're supposed to walk around and not talk. Of course we're supposed to talk. Hashem gave us a pet to talk. But sometimes just not saying, just holding back, just curbing our words can have so much more of an impact than sometimes things that we do say. You learn the parasha, you learn about Palmon and Rimon, you learn about bells and pomegranates, like, what do they do with me in my life? And then you learn a beautiful Alshech, who says, you know what? It's telling you how to look at your mouth, to recognize the kli, to recognize the powerful instrument that we have in our mouths called the peh, to recognize the powerful, even more powerful opportunity that we have to sometimes not open our mouths, and sometimes be that much more impactful in life. We don't say something, and we do say something. Mila b'sela, the Gemara says, a word, spend a sela on mashtuka b'tray. Spend two sela to learn, to earn and to learn the power, the sound of silence, the power of koach, of not saying something. That's what's embedded in this. You should do that to learn all the kochos, but to work on using our speech properly and also inculcating in ourselves the midah. It's a very, very powerful midah, being able to be shotik. Wonderful Shabbos.